Well, it's time to open up our Bibles. We've got Beth Seifert standing by with today's Bible study. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thank you, Amy. Well, today we're going to see another section of 2 Samuel that is, again, a little bit out of place chronologically. This one, we're going to see that David is speaking about the time when he was delivered from the hand of Saul, and he delivers this psalm, basically, this song that he writes. And it's a really, really long song, so I'm actually going to break it up because it seems to have kind of a theme throughout it, but also separate themes within it. So we're going to kind of break this up over the next couple of days. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 22, verses 1 through 16. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, to my God I called, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare, at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils." Okay, David's praise starts with his acknowledgement of some of the characteristics of God. Think about a rock. Think about a big rock. Is it weak? If you sat on it, would it squish? No, rocks are typically strong. Does a rock change shape or even position with every passing wind? No. It takes a lot to change the shape of a rock. And God? God is unchangeable. If you're caught in a storm, hiding on the lee side of a large rock is a good idea. It will protect you from the storm. The rock is a place of safety. David hid in rocky areas as he fled from Saul all the time. David knows the value of a stronghold in the cliffs and the rocks. God is a rock, a refuge, strength, and safety. God saved David from violent men more than once and continued to be that shield for David through his whole life. David was close to death many times. So many times Saul was almost upon him or almost found him, yet even while those waves of death swirled around him and he was completely surrounded by his enemies and he could see death in front of him, he called out to God, and God heard him and delivered him. As I read this, I think of David and his men hiding in the cave when Saul goes in to relieve himself. I wonder if that what was going through David's mind too as he wrote this psalm. Can't you picture it? The army of Saul is literally swarming outside the cave. They're trapped. If anyone goes far enough back into that cave, they have no way out. They're dead. In his distress, he called out to God, and God not only heard him, but God also acted on what he heard. He came to David's rescue. He saved David from the hands of his enemies time after time. I'm going to ruin the ending for you. David, the man whose hands were covered in blood, who was a warrior for God taking care of God's enemies, who was not allowed to build the temple for God because his hands had so much blood on them. David doesn't die in battle. David dies a natural death of old age. Yep, God protected David from his enemies. God protected David in battle. David died on his bed, an old man. When David called out to God, God heard him and protected David. Even with all the sin in David's life, God still was faithful and God protected him. We get some seriously cool imagery of God taking action here too. David called out to God to help him, and God didn't just act, he acted mightily. Can you see God's power and might and his anger in verses 8 and 9? It's almost cartoonish. The earth shakes with his anger and smoke pours from his nostrils and fire comes out of his mouth. God is mad, seriously mad. God is coming down, look out! And God comes down moving heaven and earth. Clouds are under his feet, riding on not just one, but riding on more than one cherubim and flying down on the wings of the very wind itself. God comes down quickly and allows nothing to stand in his way. God knows how to make an entrance, too. He does. He comes down with the rain and the dark sky as his backdrop. He comes blazing through the foreground with lightning bolts splitting the sky around him. And he comes down and his voice is like thunder, and it echoes endlessly from the sky. Thunder is such a wonderful way to picture God's power and majesty. We've all felt the reverberation in the air with a large clap of thunder. We've all heard thunder that startles us, that makes us look up to the sky and take note, that makes us clap our hands over our ears and cringe. God's voice is like that too. It's more than just a voice. It's a voice. God shoots his arrows and scatters David's enemies. Not only does he scatter David's enemies, he lays the very foundations of the earth completely bare with a rebuke and an angry exhalation from his nostrils. Now, that last line may sound silly, but come on, haven't you all at least known someone who does that if you don't do it yourself? They get riled up, and in their irritation, when they breathe out, they force the air out in like a snort, for lack of a better term. When I'm irritated, I do a lot of sighing. Pointed, exasperated sighing. Just ask my husband. But God wipes the earth clean with his breath. Wow. Okay, now let me back up just a second. Did God really jump on the cherubim's backs and rush down and wipe David's enemies off the face of the earth, scourging the earth as he came? No, not literally. But to David, that's what it felt like. That's what it looked like as God raised him up and dealt with David's enemies. This is the image of God that David could see as this all happened. He could see God acting mightily for him on his behalf. He could see God taking an active interest in his life and coming down to deal with his enemies. If God has never rescued you from something of this nature, this probably seems a little over the top to you. But when you've been there, this is such a beautiful way to describe what God has done for us. I have been there. I've been there and been able to watch firsthand as God takes charge. When I let him. When I don't get in the way and mess it up. David put himself into God's hands and God acted. When I finally put myself into God's hands and quit trying to handle it myself, there's no limit on what God can do. I also picture this as the scene after Jesus died, when the temple curtain was torn in two and the earth shook. Now, in my head, this is not in the Bible, just in my head, I picture God ready to hop on the cherubim and come down to deal with the men who just murdered his son. But on that day, he stopped. He didn't come all the way down. He came down far enough to block the sun. Okay, again, that's not in the Bible, that's me. But remember, it was dark on that day. And he watched the proceedings. He watched as it happened. But it was still necessary for Christ to die so that you and I could live. God loved us so much that he withheld his hand from shooting arrows and wiping the foundations of the earth clean as his son was crucified. That's the love that he has for us. It's not a simpering love. It's a tough love. There will be discipline, so expect it. But always remember, that is the love that he showed for you. Do you think that God hears you when you call out to him? Well, if you think he doesn't hear you, let me just say this. He does. He hears you. While the answer you may get may not be the answer you want, it doesn't mean that God doesn't hear you. God loves you. He loved you so much that yet while we were still his enemies, he sent his son to die for you. When you call out to him in your anguish, grief, fear, and trouble, God hears you. While the consequences of your sins won't magically disappear, we've discussed that before, the weight of them will, the guilt will. He's ready to forgive you and to show you the way out of whatever stronghold you find yourself in. He is our rock and our refuge. We can trust him and we can hide in him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.